Many, many years ago, there was a famous author and screenwriter who gave a speech at Yale University in America, expounding her ideas on academics and life. Afterwards, a reporter asked this famous screenwriter and author, "What's wrong with the modern world?" Without hesitation, this person replied, "Never before has the world been so desperately asking for answers to crucial questions. And never before has the world been so frantically committed to the idea that no answers are possible." No possible answers to the crucial questions of life. That's what one of the leading universities in our world is filling students' minds with. No answers to the most vital questions in the world. That's the way the world thinks today. No answers, no hope. But as believers, we are never, never in a hopeless situation. No matter what we face, loss of a job with no future options, loss of a child, a lifelong illness, broken relationships, there is always hope because of Jesus Christ. No matter how dire or dismal the situation or circumstances we as believers find ourselves in, with Jesus Christ, there is always hope. Today, we're going to continue with our study in the book of Matthew. And now we are into the second year of Jesus' 3 years of earthly ministry before he is to be crucified on a cross. And as we go through the book of Matthew and Jesus' life here on earth, we see over and over again where Jesus encounters people in hopeless situations and transforms their situations and their lives. In Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. After that, in chapter 8, we saw where Jesus gave hope to a leper by cleansing him. Chapter 8, we also saw where Jesus gave hope to the centurion's paralyzed servant by healing him. Chapter 8, we also studied where Jesus gave hope to the disciples who were called out in the storm on the Sea of Galilee by calming the storm. We also saw in chapter 8 where Jesus gave hope to two demon-possessed men. And at the beginning of chapter 9, if you were here last week, we saw where Jesus gave hope to a paralytic by healing him so he could walk. In our passage for today, we're going to see five people in four utterly hopeless, desperate situations have hope restored to them. And the way they have hope is through by having Jesus Christ touch their lives. Being touched by Jesus Christ takes away the hopelessness of any situation. If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn over to Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 14. Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 34. Sorry about that. 18 through 34. While he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died. Come and put your hand on her, and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If only I touch his cloak garment, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. When Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but sleeping." But they laughed at him. after the crowd had been put outside, he went in, took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread throughout all the region. And Jesus went out from there. As Jesus went out from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came in and asked him, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, it will be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was astonished and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." Let us pray one more time. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you will just quiet our hearts. Take your word and let your word touch our hearts in that area where we need to be touched. We all have needs. Some of us are in hopeless situations. Some of us in situations that are difficult. Lord, we pray that we will understand that with you, there is always hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Firstly for today, being touched by Jesus Christ brings the hope of life to people. And we find this in verses 18, 19, and then down in verses 23 and 26. For the sake of time, I will not reread the verses because we just read them. But in these verses, we learn simply that Jesus Christ has the power to physically overcome death. The ruler here, we know him to be Jairus from the parallel passages in Mark and Luke, has a daughter, and he comes to Jesus. Here in Matthew, Jairus says, "My daughter has just died." But in the parallel passages in Mark 5:23 and Luke 8:42, they say that Jairus says his daughter was at the point of death. So many skeptics and those who do not hold to the inspiration of Scripture say that this is a contradiction in the Bible. So how do we, believers who hold to the inerrancy of God's Word, handle this seemingly contradiction? The explanation is very simple. It is that Matthew omitted the initial statement of Jairus and instead focused on a second statement made by Jairus, which only Matthew recorded. Matthew omits that some people came to Jairus' house and told him that the daughter had just died. The chronological order here, if you were to put the passages together and go chronologically, you would have Jairus told Jesus his daughter was near death, recorded in Mark and Luke. And then when Jairus got word that his daughter was dead, he spoke to Jesus a second time and used the phrase recorded here in Matthew that his daughter had died. That is how you handle this seemingly contradiction here. Also in this passage here in these verses, there are some skeptics and those who deny the truth of the Bible who try to invalidate this miracle and say that Jairus' daughter was not really dead. They say this because of verse 24, where Jesus says, "The girl is not dead, but sleeping." So what was Jesus meaning here? Well, in the Bible, of course, sleep means to sleep. But sleep is also used in many other passages in the Bible for death. For example, 1 Corinthians 11:30 speaks about the death of believers as sleep. And if you were to read Acts chapter 7, when Stephen is stoned to death, Acts 7:60 says, "Stephen went to sleep, but he was dead. So Jesus' meaning here, when he says the girl is not dead but sleeping, is she is dead, but that he is going to raise her back to life. One fact, he's saying that this is a temporary state, like sleeping, and that he is going to overcome death and raise her back to life. One fact in this passage that emphasizes the girl's death is verse 23. When Jesus comes into the ruler's house, Jairus' house, and he sees the flute players. The passage over in Mark chapter 5 also adds, there is loud wailing. Jewish funerals at this time, they were characterized by loud mourning and wailing. And Jewish people, even the very poorest of the Jewish people at this time, were required to hire at least two flute players and one wailing woman at their funeral services. They never would have hired the flute players and the wailing woman if the girl was only sleeping. She was dead. A hopeless, hopeless situation. And our passage says, Jesus took her by the hand, touched her, and she arose. Being touched by Jesus Christ brings us out of hopeless situations. I also want to point out that Jesus' miracles, they also had a purpose. Jesus didn't just go around performing miracles just because he had the power to do it and wanted to show off to people. There was a purpose in all of his miracles. There's actually two purposes. One purpose was to show he had divine power, to prove that he was indeed the Messiah. And another purpose of Jesus' miracles is to teach spiritual truths. Jesus not only has the power to physically overcome death, but Jesus also has the power to overcome spiritual death. And that's the spiritual lesson in this miracle. Just as when Jesus raised Lazarus back to life in John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, do you recall what is sandwiched in between Lazarus' death and his resurrection? There's a little passage in between the two. It is Jesus talking about he is the resurrection and the life. His miracles had a spiritual truth to them. The spiritual lesson with Lazarus, the spiritual lesson here in raising Jairus' daughter, is that Jesus Christ can overcome spiritual death. Spiritual death, separation from God for all of eternity in a place called hell. But when a person, just like Jairus' daughter here, is touched by Jesus Christ, spiritual death is overcome, never to be experienced because the person has spiritual life. So I want to ask you a question. Have you personally passed from death to life spiritually? Have you come to Jesus Christ and been touched by the life-changing, transforming, eternity-altering power of Jesus Christ that he has to forgive sins and to let you pass from spiritual death into spiritual life? Spiritual death, a hopeless situation. Ephesians 2:1 tells us this, and you, referring to everyone, were dead in your trespasses and sins. About 10, 15 years ago, there was a very famous novel and movie that came out. It was about a convicted murderer in jail awaiting the death penalty. The name of the movie was Dead Man Walking. That's all of us without Jesus Christ. Dead men walking, spiritual death. And without being touched by Jesus Christ spiritually, there is no other hope. He is the only one who can bring us from spiritual death into spiritual life. Those of us who have been touched by Jesus Christ, What a great hope we have waiting for us. Spiritual life, eternity forever, spent with God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in heaven. Have you passed from death to life spiritually? Moving on, we come to our second main point for today, which is being touched by Jesus Christ brings the hope of cleansing to people. And we find this in verses 20 through 22 of our passage, which says, "And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, for she said to him, 'If only I touch his garment, I will be made well.' Jesus turned and seeing her said, 'Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well.' And instantly the woman was made well." Jesus Christ has the power to physically cleanse people. This woman here, flow of blood for 12 years. The parallel passage in Mark adds a very interesting detail in Mark 5:26. It says, "And who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was no better, but grew worse. Doctors could not heal her. They had taken all her money, seemingly hopeless. Besides that, according to the Old Testament, which you can read about in Leviticus 15, verses 19 through 33, a person with a flow of blood was considered unclean. Leviticus 15:25, I'll just read that one verse. "If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the time of her menstrual impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond the time of her menstrual impurity, for all the days of the discharge, she shall continue in uncleanness." This meant she was to stay away from other people. So this woman, she should not even have been in the crowd at that time. And most definitely, being unclean under Old Testament law, she was not to touch another person, which under Old Testament law would make that other person unclean also. So think about the woman's situation for a minute. Discharge of blood, unclean. During uncleanness, forbidden to touch another person. So if this woman, as we assume she kept the Old Testament law, unclean for 12 years, 12 years did not touch another human. Seemingly hopeless. As hopeless as her situation seems, she still found hope. "If only I touch his garment, I will be made well." She knows and understands that with Jesus Christ, hope is not lost. "If only I can touch Christ, there's my hope." So she pushes through the crowd, touches his garment. And in the Luke passage, when she touched the garment, we learn that she touches the fringe or the hem of his garment. This hem or fringe would have been blue tassels on the edge of the garment that Jewish men were required to wear under Old Testament law. You can reference Numbers 15, 38 through 39 for that. Please understand, no magical powers in these blue tassels on the robes of Jewish men. Jesus Christ had the power to heal her. Her touch and her flow of blood, discharge of blood, was stopped. Hopelessly unclean for 12 years. Then touched by Christ, healed and made clean. Jesus Christ, power to physically cleanse people. But as of all Jesus' miracles teach us spiritual lessons, Jesus Christ also has the power to spiritually cleanse people. All people, all of us, were at one time dirty, soiled, filthy, spoiled, rotten because of our sin. Our sin makes us unclean, unfit to enter into God's kingdom. And the only answer for that spiritual uncleanness, for that hopelessness of being spiritually unclean, is to be touched by Jesus Christ. Isaiah 1:18 gives us a very clear picture of this cleansing. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Think of a little child all afternoon out playing in a field after it rains. He comes into the house, filthy, muddy, dirty all over. And then mom makes him go take a bath. The dirt and mud is washed away. That's what Jesus Christ does to our sin when we are touched by him. So let me ask you another question. Have you personally touched Jesus Christ for spiritual cleansing? Has there been a time in your life when you came to Christ in the filthiness, the dirtiness of your sin, and let Jesus Christ take away and wash away those sins? Being spiritually unclean in our sins, a hopeless situation with a future eternity spent in hell. The only hope, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will cleanse us of our sins if we come and let him touch us. We have seen that Jesus Christ brings life and cleansing by being touched by Christ. And our third point for today, being touched by Jesus Christ also brings the hope of light to people. And we find this in verses 27 through 31 of our passage. Let me read again. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame throughout all that district. Jesus Christ has the power to physically open eyes. In these verses, we have another hopeless situation. Two blind men. The Bible doesn't tell us how long they had been blind. We don't know. We don't know whether they were born this way or some accident had caused them to become blind. But doctors at that time, and doctors today, there's still no remedy, no cure for physical blindness. So what did these two men do? Jesus walks by, and they follow him, crying out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." That name, very important. Son of David was a title used to show that Jesus was in the messianic line. If you were to go back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the very first verse and chapter of Matthew, it says, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of David." And the title Son of David was used to identify Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Matthew 12:23, Matthew 15:22, Matthew 20:30, all use this title, Son of David, to refer to Jesus Christ as the Messiah. In other words, these two blind men, by crying out, "Son of David," they recognized Jesus Christ as the coming Messiah. And being Jewish men, these two blind men would have known what Isaiah had wrote about the Messiah in Isaiah 35:5. It says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped." Being blind, hopeless. But these two blind men knew where to find hope. In Jesus Christ. He touched their eyes, and immediately light they could see. Not only does Jesus Christ has the power physically to open eyes, but Jesus Christ also has the power to spiritually open eyes. Blind in the dark, spiritually, without Christ. Over and over again in the Bible, darkness is used to symbolize sin and those who are unsaved. We are in spiritual darkness because of our sin, which separates us from God. But being touched by Jesus Christ, like these two blind men, can remove the darkness of our sin and cause us to come in to the spiritual light, salvation and forgiveness of sin. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him," Jesus Christ, now listen, "who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." And listen to 2 Corinthians 4:4 through 6. "In their case, the God of this world has blinded their minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake." Verse 6 there. "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Spiritual darkness. A family was taking a guided tour in a cave. A family, mom, dad, little boy. As they descended thousands of feet below the earth's surface, as cave tours always do, they turn off the lights to show the tourist what utter darkness looks like and feels like. The little boy in the family, he started crying. His dad leaned down and told him, "Stop crying. Don't worry. Someone knows how to turn on the lights." Jesus Christ knows how to turn on the lights spiritually for those of us who are in the dark, in darkness spiritually. Have you personally come out of the darkness into the light? Have you been touched by Jesus Christ, where He took away your sin, took away the darkness you were living in, and brought you into His marvelous light? Being touched by Jesus Christ and not being touched by Jesus Christ, as different as night and day. Totally different. Not knowing Christ, in darkness, facing an eternity, spent separated from God in eternal torment. But knowing Christ, Jesus Christ, in the light, sins forgiven, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, a future in eternity with Jesus Christ. Jesus' touch brings us out of spiritual darkness. Moving on, fourthly and lastly, being touched by Jesus Christ brings the hope of deliverance from the power of Satan to people. And we find this in verses 32 through 34 of our passage. "As they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowd marveled, saying, 'Never was anything like this seen in Israel.' But the Pharisees said, 'He cast out demons by the prince of demons.'" Jesus Christ has the power to physically deliver from the power of Satan. Here, demon-possessed man was brought to see Jesus. Question, what are demons? Demons are fallen angels who decided to side with Satan and follow Satan when Satan in his pride was kicked out of heaven. The Bible tells us in Revelation 12:4 that 1/3 of the angels fell when Satan fell. And we know in Hebrews 12:22 that the number of angels are innumerable. So 1/3 of an uncountable number equals how much? A lot. So how many demons are there? There are a lot. And what do demons do? their purpose, their goal, to do the will of Satan. They are under the power and influence of Satan, to serve Satan, to do his will, to accomplish Satan's purposes, which is to oppose and fight against God. And these demons can sometimes possess people, unbelievers, not believers, but they can sometimes possess people and cause serious problems. Here, it caused the man not to be able to speak. Seemingly hopeless situation. But he was come to Jesus Christ, touched by Christ, and was able to speak. I do want to point out, please, please understand, this passage is not teaching us that all mute people are demon-possessed. This passage is not teaching us all sickness is caused by demons. This passage is recording history, what Jesus Christ did. Demons are real. Sometimes they can possess people. Sometimes other sicknesses. There are many other reasons for sicknesses. We live in a fallen world. Many viruses, bacteria, things like that. Sickness in this world occurs for many, many reasons. Satan is powerful, but his power is limited. It's not Jesus Christ and Satan equal in power fighting against each other. Jesus Christ, all-powerful, omnipotent. Satan, more powerful than humans, but he does not have all power. And this demon-possessed man here come to Jesus and was healed. Not only does Jesus Christ have the power to spiritually deliver from the power of Satan, but Jesus Christ also has the power to spiritually deliver from the power of Satan. Spiritually, all people, before being touched by Jesus Christ, are separated from God, and the Bible tells us, enemies of God. And being enemies of God, we are spiritually enslaved to Satan, either willingly or unwillingly, because we are fighting and opposing God. That is Satan's influence in this world, to keep people from coming to and knowing Jesus Christ. We are either for God or for Satan, against God. There's no other alternative, under God's control or under the control of Satan. John 12:31 tells us that Satan is the ruler of this world. Now, sometimes Satan, he rules this world, and he does things in many, many different ways. Sometimes it's in the form of demon possession, as we have here in this passage. But most of the time, Satan's influence and power is shown in much more subtle and deceptive ways. For example, the world and the world system we live in, controlled by Satan, and influences people not to come to Jesus Christ, teaching them to find their hope in the things of this world. Jesus Christ has the power to deliver us from this spiritual power of darkness that Satan has. Have you personally been set free from the power of Satan spiritually? Satan wants to devour us like a roaring lion. And being the father of lies, he feeds people lies to keep them away from Jesus Christ. Spiritually under the power of Satan, seemingly hopeless. It is unless you come to Jesus Christ. There is no other hope. Have you come to Christ, touched by God's saving grace, being set free from the bondage of sin, which is Satan's power because it causes death? When you come to Christ, have your sins forgiven, Satan's power is defeated and disarmed. As we conclude this morning, we live in a world of despair and gloom. People are in a state of despondency everywhere we look. People in the world are looking for hope. They yearn to know and find a way that will offer them hope in many seemingly hopeless situations. Many times people try all sorts of gimmicks and tricks to give them hope. They turn to things of this world, money, power, drugs, alcohol. And if we've seen in our passage, there's only one true hope. The hope of being touched by Jesus Christ. The dead little girl, hope because she was touched by Jesus Christ. The woman with the hemorrhage, hope because she was touched by Jesus Christ. The two blind men who had no vision, hope because they were touched by Jesus Christ. The man controlled by Satan, under Satan's power, hope because he was touched by Jesus Christ. And people today, no matter what our situation, hope of being touched by Jesus Christ. Death, sickness, financial problems, visa problems, relationship problems, being diagnosed with cancer, seemingly hopeless. But there is hope being touched by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only hope to overcome spiritual death, spiritual uncleanness, spiritual darkness, and Satan's spiritual hold that he has. And how do you experience this touch of Jesus Christ? You come to Jesus Christ in faith. In our passage, Jairus' daughter came to Jesus, imploring him and begging Jesus. And Jesus said in the Mark and Luke passages, not in our passage here in Matthew, but in Mark and Luke, he says, "Do not fear, only believe," because of faith. The woman with the flow of blood, she touched Jesus. She cried out, "If only I touch his garment." And when Jesus touched her, Jesus said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." The two blind men, they acknowledged faith in Jesus as the Messiah, Son of David, and were asked by Jesus, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" When their eyes were open, Jesus said, "According to your faith, it be done to you." And the demon-possessed man come to Jesus Christ, touched by Christ through faith. How do we experience the touch of Christ? Through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, who he is. 100% God, 100% man, all-powerful. And faith in what Jesus Christ did, dying on the cross, shedding his blood to take away our sin. The object of your faith. It's who and where your faith lies. If you're an unbeliever here this morning, come to Jesus Christ in faith. He will touch your life. He will forgive your sins. And he will totally and radically change your life. Just confess your sin. Repent and confess that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And for believers here this morning, don't ever forget who Jesus is. Omnipotent, all-powerful, nothing impossible for him. No matter what that situation you're facing, how hopeless it seems to you, take it to Jesus Christ. Let him touch your life. To have a balanced teaching, I cannot promise you that Jesus will take away the situation. The Bible doesn't claim that. He can, and he will. Or maybe he won't. But I can promise you, you come to Jesus Christ, take it to him, let him touch your life. His grace will help you in that situation. My grace is sufficient for you. Let Jesus Christ touch your life. First, for salvation and forgiveness of sin. And then, as you live the Christian life in this world, having hope in whatever situation you find yourself in. I hope all of you can leave here today as the song we will sing at the end, "He, Jesus, touched me." Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your cruel death on the cross, the agony, the pain, the torment you suffered to give us spiritual life. Lord, we're so thankful for the day that we come to know you, when you opened our eyes, when you gave us life, when you gave us light, when you brought us out from under the influence of Satan and his power. Lord, I pray for the unbelievers here this morning that you will open their eyes, that they will see the light of your glorious gospel and put their faith in you. Lord, I pray for the believers here this morning. Lord, we all have situations in our life where we need your touch. Touch lives, touch hearts. And let us just come to you, cling to you in faith, knowing that you are always there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.